Good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we shall now continue with our program. Now it's supposed to be evening chanting to develop the spiritual quality of Sadha, Virya and Sati. So this evening chanting we have already done yesterday, and this morning we did some important pages of the morning chanting. So what I will do is, as promised, I will maybe share with you all this Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Page 42 of the retreat chanting book. Okay. Page 42 of the chanting book. The discourse on the characteristics of non-self. So this Anatta Lakkhana Sutta is a very important sutta. The Buddha actually, when he met the five ascetics, he proclaimed the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Then after that, he continued with the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. When he proclaimed the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon, out of the five ascetics, only one, Kondanya, became an Arya. He realized the first stage of sainthood, Sotapannaship. But when the Buddha followed the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, all the five ascetics become Arahant. So this is a very important sutta. When you understand, you realize the five of them, when listening, they attentively listen, then they awaken. They are not in a retreat, they are not meditating, they just listen. So you also must understand they have their past and they have special parami or quality, because for them to know the Buddha so well and able to be like the five ascetics together with him, cultivate, they have their parami. Okay? So now I will read and we will together develop the understanding. Solo introduction. All beings should take pain to understand the characteristics of anatta, non-self, which provide meshless deliverance from self-belief or self-delusion or self-perception. So this one is to break the sakyarity, self-delusion, to realize anatta, the characteristics of non-self. But strange thing is, Theravada teaching, this Pali word anatta, they always interpret as non-self. But actually anatta is much deeper in meaning. Non-self is just one of the meaning. Actually here anatta means not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call self, or this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So that is the main understanding. Since it's not a permanent unchanging entity, which means it is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. That's why from there the teaching actually evolve. So anatta here means not a permanent unchanging entity, means it's dependent originating, non-self, but at the same time, because it's not a permanent unchanging entity, it's impermanent, it's dependent originating, which means whatever arises within the conditioned world, there is no reality, empty nature. That is the deep meaning. Because everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Just mighty nature rolling by, like my teacher said. No reality. When you understand all this, then you realize these are all condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent changing entity. Okay? Then, as taught by the Supreme Buddha, the teaching is given so that those who meditate on experiential reality may arrive at perfect comprehension. It is for the development of perfect understanding of the phenomena and for the investigation of all defiled mind moments. The consequence of this practice is total deliverance. So desirous of bringing this teaching forth with its greatest benefit, let us now recite this sutta. So here, you try to recite together. Thus have I heard.
Once have I heard.
Do you know the page or not? Page 43. Retreat, chanting book. Okay, we read together. Thus have I heard. At one time, the Blessed One was dwelling near Benares at Isipatana in Deer Park. There he addressed a group of five ascetic monks, or bhikkhus. He said, form, bhikkhu, is non-self. If bhikkhu, form, were self, then form would not lead to affliction, and one might be able to say in regards to form, let my form be thus, let my form not be thus. But since bhikkhu, form is non-self, form therefore lead to affliction, and one is not able to say in regards with form, let my form be thus, let my form not be thus. Then he repeat for feeling. Feeling, bhikkhu, is non-self. If bhikkhu, feeling the self, feeling would not lead to affliction or suffering, and one might be able to say in regards to feeling, let my feeling be thus, let my feeling not be thus. But since bhikkhu, feeling is non-self, feeling therefore leads to suffering or affliction, and one is not able to say in regards to feeling, let my feeling be thus, let my feeling not be thus. Then the Buddha repeat for perception, mental formation of Sankara, and we move on. And consciousness. So we will recite consciousness. Consciousness is non-self. If bhikkhu, consciousness was self, consciousness would not lead to affliction, and one may be able to say in the regard to consciousness, let my consciousness be thus, let my consciousness not be thus. But since bhikkhu, consciousness is not self, consciousness therefore leads to affliction, and one is not able to say in regards to consciousness, let my consciousness be thus, let my consciousness not be thus. Then the Buddha continued, he said, what do you think, bhikkhu? Is form permanent or impermanent?
Impermanent,
they answered. But is that which is impermanent painful and or pleasurable? They say painful, Lord. But is it fit, therefore, to consider that which is impermanent, painful, of a nature to change, as this is mine, I am this is myself, it is not, Lord? Then he continued, what do you think about this, bhikkhu? Is perception permanent or impermanent? Again, they answered, impermanent, Lord. But is that which is impermanent painful or pleasurable? Is that which is impermanent painful or pleasurable? So obviously, it is painful. But is it fit to consider that which is impermanent, painful, of a nature to change, as this is mine, I am this, this is myself? It is not, Lord. Then they continue with the other aggregate of mental formation and consciousness. Then we move on. After he finished with consciousness, he asked, therefore, Bhikkhu, whatever form that is past, future, or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, whether it's far or near, all forms should, by means of right wisdom or understanding, be seen as it really is. Thus, this is not self or not mine. I am not this. This is not myself. Whatever feeling that is past, future, or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, whether it is far or near, all feeling should, by means of right wisdom and understanding, be seen as it really is. This is not mine. I am not this. This is not myself. Then whatever perception, you repeat, is the same. Then mental formation, then consciousness. Then the final conclusion. Seeing in this way, Bhikkhu, the wise disciple, become disenchanted with form, become disenchanted with feeling, become disenchanted with perception, become disenchanted with sankhara activity or mental states and mental formation, become disenchanted with consciousness. Becoming disenchanted, their passion or craving fade away. With the fading away of passion, the heart is liberated. With liberation, there comes knowledge or wisdom. It is liberated, and they know, destroy its birth, the holy life has been lived out, done is what had to be done, there is no more coming into any state of being. Thus spoke the Blessed One. Delighted, the group of five bhikkhu rejoiced in what Lord Buddha had said. Moreover, while this discourse was being delivered, the mind of the five bhikkhus were free from defilements through clinging no more. So this is the end of the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. But here, the English translation is not so good. Actually, in the early days, I got one of these translations which is better, but I didn't bring the book. The other one, actually, the way they express it is very good. So next time, when we have another retreat, remind me to bring that book. But this one, the English translation is not precise. Then when you read, it's like not so smooth in its explanation. In fact, the main understanding is what I shared with you earlier on. All these five aggregates of form and mind, the Buddha starts with asking them, is it permanent or impermanent? Because like the form, physical body, you know, is it permanent? It goes away of nature. He has taught them about the five daily contemplation and other things. Then likewise, feeling. And after feeling is what we have as perception, then activity of mind, sankhara, mind state, and consciousness. Then after they reply that they are impermanent, then the Buddha asks, is form pleasurable he tends towards suffering. Because it's impermanent, it surely tends towards suffering. So the other aggregate also same. Because the reality is, you will attach, you will cling, then it tends towards dukkha or suffering. But if you don't attach, don't cling, there is no dukkha. Then the Buddha actually transformed it. Then he asked the bhikkhu, he said, whatever that is impermanent and tends towards suffering, is it right to say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine? In this phrasing and explanation, it becomes very clear. Because it's not a permanent unchanging entity. So how can it be you, understand not? Like the physical body is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. So if these aggregates are impermanent, they come and they go, the better explanation is what I have shared with you all through my own cultivation and contemplation from the past. If they are impermanent, which I saw in the mindfulness training awareness, then the question is, how can they be me? Just like this physical body, not a permanent unchanging entity, go the way of nature. Definitely, it is impermanent and it cannot be me. Then like feeling is the same. Feeling come and go, I didn't die. When I have pleasant feeling, it transforms, become unpleasant feeling, I didn't die. But when you have the Dhamma, feeling become pure feeling. There is no duality of pleasant and unpleasant. But before you have the Dhamma, the understanding, this is what you saw, understand? Tends towards suffering. So whatever that is impermanent and tends towards suffering, how can you cling onto it, grasp onto it, hold onto it and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, this entity can own, all this can be mine. It's delusion, isn't it? Sakyadity, isn't it? That's why from that understanding, I actually developed the wisdom and break free from the five aggregate of formula. Because when I meditate, I silent, I develop that awareness. Then I realize, feeling is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Definitely, this type of entity cannot be me. If it's me, when it transforms from one state to another state, when the pleasant feeling ceases to be, did I die? I didn't die. When my perception arises and passes away, did I die? I didn't die. Then how can it be me? Very clear cut, isn't it? And definitely it's not a permanent unchanging entity, because when I silent, I realize they follow this nature's law. Of course, the Buddha gave the teaching of paticca samuppada, the dwelling, condition arising, dependent originating. So upon contact, feeling arise, feeling, condition, craving and all these things. So these are the flow, the movement. So when you are mindful, when you are aware, you can see. That way you can see, you realize feeling actually can be transformed into craving. When there is attachment, delusion, then it becomes grasping aggregate, understand? So similarly, perception is the same. Come and go, you didn't die. So this is how you develop the wisdom through awareness-based meditation. Then when this wisdom arises, just like this morning when I write the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind, we can investigate into it, we can put it to test. So each and every one we have gone through, the form aggregate, feeling, perception, sankhara activity and consciousness, they are of the nature to arise and to pass away, and you didn't die. So how can they be you? So obviously, all these are dependent originating entity, not a permanent unchanging entity. So you cannot cling on to it, hold on to it, grasp on it, and say, this is me, this is I. Means feeling is me, perception is me, consciousness is me, all my thought processes are me. No such thing. That's why to see this, to realize that the five aggregate of form and mind, they are impermanent. Then from there you realize the empty nature, non-self nature. There is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, grasp on to, hold on to and say, this is me. This is I, therefore all this can be mine. So from there, you break free from sakyarity. Then you start to realize the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, which is the mental aspect, the mental five aggregate. When the perception we perceive, the external sense data come in, and together with the four aggregate of mind and this mental form, it becomes the five aggregate. So this one is with the content, namaru, five aggregate of form and mind, second aspect. That's why under the Paticca Samuppada teaching, initially is avijja paccaya sankhara. Avijja, ignorant, paccaya sankhara. Then sankara paccaya vijnanam. Then vijnanam paccaya namarup. Nama rupa. So here, the first link is avijja, ignorance. So ignorance means ignorant of truth, of the Dhamma, the nature's law that governs life and existence. When you don't understand, when you have this avijja, ignorance, what will happen to you? You want to know, you want to understand. So one thing to know, one thing to understand, one thing to experience, what do as a human being? You go to school, you don't understand, what did your teacher say? Go back? I go back and think about it, understand? Because you only have the instrument of thought. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, when you have this ignorance, when you want to understand, you go and think. And what is thinking? Arising of thought, isn't it? And how did the thought arise? You need the brain, the memory, isn't it? That's why the newborn baby don't have that brain built up. There is no thought. They can have pure direction. But without the conditioning, as a kid, not much use. But when you grow up, become sophisticated with the memory, then you can still have the direct seeing without the content of consciousness or the memory affecting you. And that is direct seeing. So what happens is when you make contact with the brain, your brain, make contact. What happened? This one is an organ, isn't it? Correct, right? Then like the physics experiment, let's say this one is the switch, and this one is the light bulb. So upon contact, this light bulb lights something. So the lighting up is like you become conscious. So what happened is, upon contact, this brain, which is memory, trigger of thought, understand? And what is thought? Respond to all this memory in the brain. So brain is memory. Then what is thought? You can find out when you are aware. Thought is response. Memory. Without memory, you cannot trigger off thought. Thought cannot arise. So when you understand this, upon contact, the light bulb lights up. This one, thought consciousness arise. Understand that? You understand that? Like in the seeing, it's only the see consciousness. In the contact with the brain is only the thought consciousness, understand? The content hasn't gone in yet. So this one, vijnana, is the thought consciousness. This one is actually the pure consciousness because the content hasn't gone in yet. Understand? Can understand, like the physics experiment. Like in the seeing, just that consciousness, the seeing consciousness. So upon contact, it's just the thought consciousness. Pure, you know. Can follow? Huh? Then what happened? Because you have your brain, your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, you stir, you react, you input the content of consciousness. Input content. Oh, consciousness. Then this one become Namarupa, five mental aggregates of form and mind. So can follow. This is what happened in your brain. Ah, English, yes.
Because the first thought is avidya, ignorance. That's why we are ignorant or deluded. That's why we think.
Yeah. Yeah. We have one thing to know.
Right? One thing to know. One thing to experience.
Cannot be pure
because
already caused by the first ignorance and
because you know why
thinking.
Wait, you know why it's called pure? Because the content hasn't gone in, understand now?
But it's already defiled by some
No. The content hasn't gone in, understand? It's just like your direct seeing. In the seeing is only that seeing consciousness. You know what is seeing consciousness? When you see, there is an entity the ego see. But in the seeing, the Buddha say, there is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see. Means no egoic mind, no content, no delusion, no sakyanity. That's why it's the pure consciousness. And what is pure consciousness? Receptacle. Remember? The receptacle, like the container, that receives the content. So the receptacle got no content, how can it be defiled? That's why in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. In the hearing, it's just the hearing consciousness. No one to see, no one to hear.
This is applied for
all awakened, consciousness.
Awakened being, not deluded being.
No. Enlightened being, non-grasping, understand now. Non-grasping means after the content went in, yeah, this one become grasping, understand? Because delusion is there already. Then because of this form and mind, there must be contact. Because he said dependent on Namarupa, there must be contact. There must be sense basis. Salah yatana. Because without sense basis, salah yatana, this nama rupa cannot arise. This vinyanang also cannot arise. So dependent on this, The Buddha concludes there must be sense basis. And dependent on sense basis, there is contact. Yeah. Then contact, condition, feeling. So this one, if you are enlightened being, arahant, this one doesn't move. The Paticca-samuppada say feeling, condition, craving. But if you are enlightened, there is no craving. You understand not? There's a feeling become pure feeling.
That means these pure consciousness, pure feelings are for awakened, enlightened beings. That means in sequence is the
the enlightened being don't have avijja. Understand not? Then they no need to think. Understand not? But they can also think where the five aggregates are still there, understand? No? Because what you need to understand is these aggregates are non-grasping, pure aggregate. So the form is also non-grasping because the wisdom is no longer deluded. Form delusion no more, thought delusion also no more. So this one become vijja, understand? No? So vijja can also condition sanghara, understand? But this one is not taught due to ignorance. This one is taught that is born of pure consciousness, which is without the delusion behind, without the avijja behind. So what happened is this one, when it arises, the arahant arises. The right thought, the pure thought, free of the evil roots. It doesn't mean he don't have thought, understand? He still have thought, but he's become right thought, understand? Then one with the avijja condition, these two be evil root, understand? Negativity of form and mind, where the content of consciousness is with the evil roots. But the arahant, vijja, create the pure thought, the pure content, understand? And this one, because it's pure, salataya tana still there, he still got contact, he still have feeling. But when feeling arrives, he cannot grasp and cling, because there is no delusion, no craving. That's why Paticca Samuppada stop here. And they teach you what? Cut at feeling. True or not? They ask you to cut at feeling. You think can cut? When there is vijja, only you can cut. When you have the enlightenment. When there is no vijja, this one becomes craving very fast. Then straight away it follows to become grasping, then becoming, then the whole mess of suffering. That's why this Paticca Samuppada, you are mindful, aware, so fast it happens. And you straight away stir your mind and reactivate. You cannot see things as they are. You cannot be at peace with it already. Understand not? There is no pure feeling, equanimity. Whereas the enlightened being, at the moment of sense experience, they can be at the moment of contact, at the moment of feeling, and cannot move. Cannot move. That's why I told you last time. It's like it stay there. But it cannot move because of your mindfulness awareness and your wisdom. The yoni soap on the sacral pop come out. This one cannot move. In fact, when it is here, the direct seeing, they already know this one cannot create problem in external phenomenal world, the external form. Cannot create problem, cannot dilute it already. So because of that, this one is the pure consciousness with its pure content. Understand? Without the evil root, without the delusion. That's why they always arise the wrong at the right thought. Non-deluded one, without the evil root. So when this flow is stopped here, then they will not be subjected to craving, grasping, and becoming.
But you for non-enlightened beings, by having this what Vajra has explained with pure consciousness, with pure mental form and mind.
Yeah.
That means we still have this pure consciousness.
Yes, the aggregate is still there.
Non-awakened beings. We can have the pure consciousness. Even though we have avijja as a
oh, you mean a normal putujana?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, because this one, when you have mindfulness, you can be at the moment of the consciousness. Understand? When consciousness arises, like I said, when contact arises, the awareness can be at the moment of contact. Then when feeling is being conditioned, it can be at the moment of feeling. But pure feeling, it cannot move. Then all the other aggregates or all the other links, he also can see. Like the moment of sanya, perception, what it perceives, the awareness is there. Understand? Then after that, how the thinking, the activity of mind, how the mind state, how they are being stirred and conditioned into it. Before he become an arahant, before he has the wisdom, he saw all this happening, understand? The dwelling. Then he developed wisdom, he straightened his view, he developed vijja. Then this one become pure. This one also become, this one was normal. You can be at the moment of consciousness, pure consciousness before the content went. But when the content went in, because it's vijja, this content is right thought, following Noble Eightfold Path. Understand? No evil root, no delusion. So from here, it explained very clearly, dependent on this, for this to arise, the Namaru, even Arahant arise this. Salayat Tanak must be there. There must be sense spaces, otherwise all this cannot flow. Understand? So dependent on Namarup, there must be sense spaces. And because there is sense spaces, it will condition contact. Contact will condition feeling. Then this one, if it's avijja, it will condition craving, grasping, becoming. Then you take birth. Yeah. So this is transgression. You become and you take birth. Yeah. You become the rapist here. You become, this one here is craving is lust. Yeah. Then you tenaciously become like lustful. Then this grasping aggregate will trigger you become that lustful person or the rapist who want to rape people. Then from becoming, you take birth, means you transgress and do it physically. Understand? Transgression is physically, you are born into that rapist. Understand? This one is becoming, you become like a rapist already. Understand? Then when you rape, physically, transgression, you acted out already. So this is how the Patthisamuppada actually flow. But the traditional teaching in the Theravada, they cannot understand all this because they cannot see this thing. And how upon contact, the light bulb lights up. Here, Sankara is contact with the brain. They don't know this, they don't know this. That's why this one, they cannot explain. So how do they explain? Yeah? How do they explain? This one, they say, past ignorant, the last thought. Understand not? Because this one is avijja that conditioned the karmic volition. You want to know what is karmic volition? So karmic volition will condition rebirth consciousness. Now that very easy to explain, understand? Because of ignorant avijja, then you create karmic volition, means last thought moment before you die, because of karma, you take rebirth. So this is rebirth consciousness. Then it conditioned Namarupa. He said this is the first aspect of the five aggregate to become a human being. Then because you are a human being, you have your sense bases. And because of the sense bases, you have contact, you have feeling. So the whole Patthisamuppada to them, oh, this must be correct. Understand? And they cannot understand what is birth. They think born into another life. Understand? This one, Paticca Samuppada, is every moment, every instant, happening within your form and mind. It's not over three periods of time. So all this, when you are mindful, aware, you have the ability to see and realize what is going on within the form and mind. That's why mindfulness is very, very important, critical. Okay? Any question? Yeah, Han Yuan, yes. Yeah.
Continue.
Yes.
Sankara appear twice, is it? Because there's Sankara after Avijja, and then Nama Rupa also, there's the Sankara there.
You must understand, here Sankara means mental activity, anasana, mental thinking, anasana. But Sankara is the content of consciousness. It has many meaning, anasana. But in this link, this Sankara is thinking, anasana. You go to the brain and think, anasana. And to think, you must have the aggregates of perception, anasana. Then your memory trigger off. When you perceive, then your memory come in. Your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system input the content. Understand? Because you are confused by the word. Why you look at the word? You silence your mind to be aware. Then you understand. Because when you aware, how you create thought also you know. Why I say thought, it responds to memory. Well, I saw it. The moment that content went in, that whole thing become thought, namaru. That avijja paccaya sankara means, because of ignorance, that link, you keep on wanting to know. Wanting to know what you do. You go and think, understand? And how you think? You go to the brain and get the thought out. Respond to memory. Understand? Whereas that namarupa, when you input the content, it's not thinking anymore, understand? It's your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, whether it's moral or unmoral, that mental intention inside there, which is also sankara. Sankara is mental activity, thinking, mental intention, mental state, mental formation. All these are sankara, understand? Everything that your brain or your mind can do. So when the Buddha teach the paticca, he's very specific. Avijja paccaya sankara, that is the thinking one. Understand? That's like upon contact, thought arise. But initially, it's the pure consciousness, vijnana, by the physics experiment. This one is a natural law. Understand? Do you need a God to create seeing? Thinking? You don't need this. Like the physics experiment. When the conditions are there, this one light up, isn't it? Understand? When the causes and conditions are there, that's why they are dependent originating, then the light up light up. The lighting up is you become conscious.
I want to try a metaphor.
Sui, use the mic.
Okay. I want to try a metaphor that seemed to work for me in my brain. So correct me if it's going in the wrong direction, then we don't waste time. So when vinyanang to me isn't receptacle, so I think of it like a cup, and then our memory, I like to drink coffee, so let's say this coffee powder, okay? Whatever I accumulated, okay? So this is the essence, coffee essence. Then I've got a cup. And then nama rupa, I think of it as water, plain water. Because when I dilute this, the whole thing turns brown, it proliferates. So I get a lot of different forms, all our brain, all our pictures. So when I have one memory, like a dog beat me before, the minute I see a dog, right, let's say this is a bad memory, see a dog and I have a negative, it's like I add pepper into my coffee instead of sugar. So it's avijja instead of avijja. It goes in. And then I start to think about, oh, this is a bad dog. I've hit this kind of dog before. It's going to bite me, you know. So all the water will make this, whatever I have in my memory, proliferates and make the whole cup filled up with it. So the salayatana is like an apparatus, a spoon. Contact, my action of stirring the whole thing. So I don't know if that helps. So it, when you want to say coffee, the coffee powder, the container, and the water is a cup of coffee. But here, we're talking about the essence of the coffee. This one, the cup and the water, when you add all three together, it's still coffee. So Sankara, inside Sankara, we have Vinyanam, we have Namarupa, we have perception. But here, we are looking at this. I don't know if that helps. That's how I see it.
You see, this one is how my daughter Sui apply rational contemplative understanding. To him, this is easier for her to understand. But you can approach it from any method or, sorry, any direction. But more important is, no need to use all this understanding. Silence your mind and find out. Like I say, when you silent, what happens? You want to inquire, investigate how you create thought. Then why you think? Why do you think? Because you don't understand. True or not? That's why avijja. One thing to understand, one thing to know, one thing to develop the experience, you think. But that is the only instrument before you have awareness-based meditation. Before you develop the ability to be aware, you will think. Your consciousness is always up here. You realize or not in the past. You always, I won't say aware, you always think from here, understand? Because your senses are all nearby. That's why this one, the brain, together with the senses, you create thought very fast. So this is where thinking is. But when you are aware, you don't stay up here, you stay here, understand? When you stay here, what happens? This awareness nature see. It's the pure seeing, the direct seeing, the pure vijnana, understand? But the content hasn't gone in. No word, no label, nothing, no concept. The brain got memory because you already grown up, so conditioned, but it doesn't affect you because you have awareness. You are using your awareness as a direct seeing, sitting as they are, understand? So no need to use all this analogy. Through your awareness, you understand this one. That's why I say it can be at the moment of arising of that pure consciousness. When you become conscious of seeing, like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see yet, no egoic mind yet. Why? Because this is pure seeing, direct seeing. Like they say, kan san, bu shi san, understand? Because he sees things as they are. This is pure vijnana to the enlightened being, understand? And then they also have to live life, understand? They also input the content, understand? And what is their content? Dhamma. They act not from memory, they act from wisdom, understanding, Dhamma understanding. That's why they will arise the Dhamma understanding to act. That's why acting with wisdom following the Dhamma way. Understand? You don't act according to memory. That's why ignorant condition this. And this one is brain, memory. And this one, the Arahan also have. But memory cannot delude them because they have the wisdom already. Understand? That's why they can have this direct seeing. That's why normal people, you try to practice direct seeing, you go and try. I wish you all the luck. You cannot practice wisdom one. Wisdom is not a knowledge for you to practice.
Thank you so much, Ratio. Now I understand you're explaining in a way of cultivators.
Yeah.
Because all the time I thought this is for deluded
person. Yeah, because
direct seeing,
because you are very used to the Theravada teaching type of format. The Vijja cycle and the Avijja cycle,
yes.
Understand? The Vijja and the Avijja cycle, there are two cycles.
Yes.
anasara. The arising of ignorance that condition the dwelling. Then when you become enlightened, they say
reverse.
The reversal cycle. You chant, in the chanting we chant, isn't it?
Yes.
Paticca samuppada. They got the two cycle, anasara. That's why it confuses you because you think it's like that. But the reality that happens when you have sati and mindfulness awareness, you see. And you don't need to like chant the reverse cycle and all, because the Buddha teach them to retain the memory through chanting. That's why they chant. But when you chant without understanding, it becomes like two cycles.
Exactly.
Ah.
Thank you so much, Bhatiya.
Sadhu. Sadhu.
Sadhu. So only I really understand
the whole movement. The whole movement. Because earlier on, you are not ready to ask this type of question. Because last year, especially after August, you all developed a lot of understanding. We had the sharing was different. Then after that, only you have this condition to ask the further question. Then I can explain.
I have this doubt quite some time, but I have no chance to ask. Yes.
So today there is condition. Then this one come to be. So when you go back to the cultivation from the pure awareness, you no need to use word to rationalize all this. Because Sui's approach is he like to contemplate and use all this analogy to make things easy for the IT student. IT work that logic. So when we are a cultivator with awareness, we work based on awareness, understand? We don't use all this. That's why I say this one is initially like one of the skillful way for you to build up your conceptual understanding. Then later on when the awareness comes, the mindfulness comes, she will transform very fast. She only need to stabilize that mindfulness. Because she has very good grasp of what I share and what I teach. Except he cannot see and realize the thing because the awareness nature not stable. So give her some time. When she has the awareness nature, she will penetrate all this and understand very fast. And she will become very different. After that, he look at the whole world different again. Okay? Speak on the mic for the record.
I'm looking at this is that's why the Buddhist Sawas have no problem coming back to the Saha, this world to help beings because they still go through that, but then they are already pure, they act.
They no longer suffer because they no longer deluded.
The right views and all that.
Yeah.
Although they have.
That's why they
the
can live.
Everything.
They can live life to the fullest. The third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. So to them, at the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development, they already know samsara is nothing. That's why they can renounce samsara and continue with the cultivation. But to them, samsara is, you don't understand, you cannot understand one. Why they renounce samsara? Because samsara got no meaning to them already. You say, oh, bodhisattva, we take eons and eons and eons. You think you can make it. You think you can develop it. You think you can do it. Forget about it, lo, arahat, way faster. So the thought will tell them that. Because of the lack of understanding what the Bodhisattva way is. Well, the Bodhisattva, you read the Lotus Sutta, you remember when I shared? Finally, the Buddha in the Lotus Sutta said there is only one vehicle, which is the supreme vehicle. But that one is the complete understanding, understand? Whereas the sainthood way, last time I tell you, this one is not extensive enough, that's how the coverage is like very basic, enough for you to pass exam, finish. You cannot understand life, you cannot stabilize the understanding, you don't have the awareness nature to see all this clearly. You only break free avijja, understand? Like the five ascetic, anatta lakkhana sutta, clear, finish, no more river. But they don't go and take the vow, no. They don't go and develop the extensive experiences of aeons and aeons of birth and death, of what happened in the conditioned world, no. Means the universe and all those things, all the evolution, different civilization, different environment, condition, living being, all this, they say limitless. Wisdom is unending. You can actually cultivate, develop the understanding. But this one take long period of cultivation and extensive exposure. That's why in the, what they call, what they call, Huayan Sanpu Jing. You remember? Huayan Jing. They got three books. The first one is what? Wu Liang Yi Jing. Yeah, Fa Hua Sanpu Jing, sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Fa Hua Sanpu Jing. The first one is Wu Liang Yi Jing, the Sutra of Innumerous Meaning. And that one, all cultivation by Bodhisattva, the virtue, the wisdom of the Bodhisattva, the mind of the Bodhisattva. That one we have gone through, understand? So to be a Bodhisattva, only you can have those type of understanding, transformation, and mind. Then after that, the second one is what? Lotus Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. And inside there, he talked about all the initial skillful means. They call it the, what device? What device is it?
Expedient devices.
Expedient devices. Means they use these expedient devices and introduce the initial teaching to attract the sainthood way, then only teach the Lotus Sutta. Only those who have the condition. When the Buddha proclaimed the Lotus Sutta, you remember in the Sutta how many thousand walk up?
Yeah.
They are all enlightened beings. No? They walk up because Parami is not there. So, not easy to go the Bodhisattva way. You need a lot of understanding, perseverance, and extensive faith and dedication. People who manage to do it is because along the cultivation, they met with great beings, the Buddha and all those things. In fact, all the, in the Lotus Sutta, all those great beings that they mentioned, they talk about they have come into contact with millions and millions of Sammasambuddha. You realize or not? Even Vimalakirti, he met 90 million Sammasambuddha. And to meet one also so difficult. No? They have met 90 million. No? That's why their cultivation is very extensive, very different from the sainthood way. So, forget about what people say, what people tell you, because when they don't have that understanding or that cultivation of the Bodhisattva way, they will tell you based on their views, opinion, and conditioning and belief system. But when you have encountered great beings who have shown you the way and all things, then you have gone on this path long enough, sufficient enough, you become different. That's why the word is the Bodhisattva way, although very long, need a lot of patience, very tedious, very difficult. These are words of people who don't understand. But the word of those who understand, but very rewarding, understand how? The word is rewarding. Like Beng Li just now tried to say, but he doesn't know how to put it in the word. Means the Bodhisattva ever willing to come, understand how? Because like I say, when you have this understanding, why do you scared of samsara? If I have this understanding that this life, at the age of 35, I connect, then I look at my life, everything was so perfect. Like the way it's meant to be. Like everything already, not to say I plan, no. Well, I have this understanding and wisdom, the causes and conditions, all has been planted. That's why I use this word, I say, this life when I come, I didn't do anything. Did I lie? I didn't lie. Why? Well, I echoed and flow and I saw all this happening. All the things that is like beyond your wildest dream, impossible one, you can meet. And that thing can just arise and happen. All is because of that understanding. That's why when you have this understanding, you can come with that wisdom, that understanding, the karmic nature and the spiritual nature. Why not? Understand all. Like this life, you think, I'm miserable. Like a lot of the great beings, even Xu Yun, Xuan Hua, beginning of their life, a lot of what they call karmic thing to go through, a lot of suffering. Even this Xuan Hua, he was, I think, poisoned when he go to US. Then even the Xu Yun, Lao He Sang, he gone through a lot of what they call karmic difficulty, but he endured and he break free. And you look at even Hui Ning, born as a farmer, he also went through tough life. But then I look back, then I realize you have a choice how you want to come. I realize a lot of gripping initially, when they cultivate, their emphasis is on cultivation, cultivation, cultivation. But of course, finally, they have to do the 10 perfection and all those things. But you don't have that, what they call, extraordinary understanding to decide how you want to come. That's why I share with my daughter, my wife, and some Kayamita. I look at this like I come. I realize I have this understanding. I come. I don't depend on teacher, on others to support on. You realize not? I am self-sufficient. I have my financial everything, my education, my understanding. And I don't need any support. Kayamita Fund is set up out of love and compassion for Kayamita, not for my use. Understand? In fact, I donate a lot to Kayamita Fund. But this is what my nature is. I don't want to come that way. That's why that tradition, that lineage of monkhood, I have done long, long time ago, for eons and eons ago. Until, that's why I told you I like Vimala Kitty. He liked to come as a lay person. Understand? So it's not how you appear, but different tradition love their lineage. Like Sakyamuni, he liked to set up this, what they call, the Sangha. Why? Because he checked back. This lineage, the Sasana is the longest. Understand? 5,000 years. The other type, the Sasana not so long. You understand? But if you want to remain long time as a Bodhisattva, why you want to think and worry about that Sasana how long? Understand? Echoed and flow. The condition. That's why different beings, different understanding, they prefer their own way. So a lot of them, when they don't consider all those, they will come, they will encounter different type of difficulty. You go and check all the great Buddhist tradition, all the abbot and all these people, they actually suffer. Even Chen Yan, when he was young. Then later on, he met Yin Sun. He wanted to ordain, cannot ordain. Luckily, Yin Sun accepted her and allowed her to ordain. And then the rest is history. So all this is your understanding. The joy is the individual being that goes through this journey. And it's rewarding because when you have this understanding, you don't have to suffer like this life. Actually, I say 1989, 35, at the age of 35, I connect and I develop the understanding. Like Sakyamuni Buddha, underneath the Bodhi tree, he was 35 years old. 29 years old, he left the palace, you know. 6 years later, 35, he became enlightened. And that one is very fast. Normally, to develop this type of awakening, even the sainthood way, you think easier. When you come as a human being this life, you don't know head or tail. You like ordinary people, gong gong tua, gong gong jia, gong gong si, But for you all got Dhamma based on the path, at least you are not so gone. You reach your career, you work, yeah? Then you go through family life, then your past connect and bring you to the Dhamma, understand? But I ask you all friendly, at what age you seek the Dhamma? Then after you seek the Dhamma, how long after that only you learn all this understanding? By the time you hit this one, what is your age? And a lot of people worse than you, a lot of them 80 years old only can develop the understanding. Some, after they pass away, they still don't have this understanding. So what happened is, ability to have all this understanding depend on your cultivation, your past, karmic, evolution, understanding. So what I want to share here with you is, I was requested by Maitreya to actually bring forth this understanding of mind, the Bodhisattva way, and the true Dhamma of the Theravada and Mahayana teaching to share with the world. Because this one, they realize very few people can teach like that and share like that. Yeah. So mind is one of the way I evolve out. You don't have to follow me, understand? For mine, I like it this way. I like to come as a lay person. I like to connect early. I like to seek the highest wisdom at any one time. That's why this life is like everything fall into place, like very blessed. Oh. Even my childhood, my education, everything until university, then 1989 I connect. Then life after that was so beautiful. No? I lived the third phase of Dhamma at the age of 35 onward now. So how? They call me Wosiong when I was in MU. My housemate, my classmate, oh yeah, he xiao lai liao. Why? Because when I go out with them for social outing, even Buddhist society, I will sit one corner and silence my mind. Because that time I meditate a lot. Then my whole room, third year and final year, I stay at S2. There is a group of ladies, four or five, they study secretarial course, all those things. They purposely rent the whole house in SS2 and only rent to university students. They like third year and final year. First, second year, they don't want to. So I follow my roommate, where he Johorian, know them, then I was there. Even these six of them, say, herself, I know. When I walk in, they look at me, I don't mix around, and I very quiet, and I do my thing. Then they say, herself, I know. But the best joke is one, there was one night, everybody go out, because I don't know whether it's a very popular weekend. Then I got one of these housemen, lady, the name is Rose. She was jilted, no. The boyfriend got BMW one, very healthy, but somehow jilted, and I didn't know she was at home. Then all of a sudden I said, the whole house nobody, how come got song coming out? You know what song she played or not? 40 over time, I calculated. I don't like to sleep alone. And I was in the house. Until the next morning, they asked me, then only I say, you all better go and ask her what happened. Singing this song and never come out. And that night supposed to be everybody out. That's why they know. After that, they say, Atio Zai, her xiao. He said, the lady, roommate, housemate, singing this song, I don't like to sleep alone. I listen until I know how to sing. No? I don't know English song. Until I know how to sing, I don't like sleep alone. Stay with me. Don't go. Wow. So inviting. And that time I was third year. And this type of thing happened. This is life, understanding. That's why whatever it is, when you have this nature, this understanding, when you come, you are beautiful. Then you can ask my wife, you can ask my daughter, my son. Our family is different, very beautiful. a lot of understanding, harmony, and give them a lot of freedom to do what they want, to live life and all those things. It is because of the understanding. Okay? So we better go back to the Hasuta. I suppose I have meditation here.
No more.
Oh, 8:10 already. So you're all untung. Okay, never mind. We continue, follow the time. 7:40 to 9:50. Oh, Q&A, Dhamma discussion. Okay. So we get Tammy to continue.
Page 28, 2.5. Difference between Pure Land, Western Paradise, and Nirvana. Question 4. Can you explain the difference between Pure Land teaching that talks about the Western Paradise and Nirvana as taught by Sakyamuni Buddha? Brother Chiu replied, Pure Land teaching is based on Amitabha Buddha's great vow, which created the Pure Land, also called the Western Paradise. For those disciples or cultivators who have the affinity with him to continue with their cultivation and profession, by virtue of Amitabha Buddha and all the other great bodhisattvas like Kuan Yin, Manjushri, etc., great cultivation, their vows are very powerful because of their wisdom and perfections. Hence, this leads to their great vows to be integrated into nature's law, thereby enabling their vows to have such special ability to create such pure land and manifest naturally, thus helping the cultivators and their disciples who know how to connect directly to their vows without themselves having to be there or at any specific place to help. This pure land of the Western Paradise is in the hearts of those who have developed the cultivation and have the ability to connect directly to Amitabha Buddha's vows via their silent mind, with very strong faith while chanting Amitabha Buddha's name or his mantra. Chant until no one is chanting. That is the vibration and the mind has become one in perfect harmony and synchrony. This pure land or the Western Paradise is not within the 31 planes of existence as taught by the Sakyamuni Buddha.
Okay. So this Pure Land tradition is something that Theravada tradition cannot accept. You know, in the early days I used to hear they tell me, Padua, got Pure Land teaching on me, got such teaching on me. Chan, no need to meditate, no need to cultivate, no Four Noble Truths, nothing, also can become enlightened. What is your understanding? If you are asked this question, how you answer? When you don't have the understanding of what people do, please have an open mind. Don't go and comment, understand? That is the advice. It's very dangerous. You don't know what Pure Land is. Pure Land come about because Amitabha Buddha. And Amitabha Buddha got 48 very, very heavy vows. And he has cultivated the longest, 3 times as long as Sakyamuni. Sakyamuni only 3 3/4 Asangaya Kapas, become Samasambuddha, where he took the wisdom way. Amitabha go by the faith way, Sada. He took 12 world cycle, Asangaya Kapas. That's why he developed until the vow becomes so powerful. He become part of nature's law. Whosoever recite his name sincerely with faith, he guarantee them rebirth in the Pure Land. Xiang Yi. Their vow mesh with the cultivator. So, like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva is the same. What is Kuan Yin Bodhisattva or Avalokiteshvara's famous cultivation? Love and compassion and wisdom, isn't it? Namo Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Da Chi Da Bei Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Chi is Chi Bei, understand? All this is because she perfected it that way, and as a bodhisattva, he has a lot of love and compassion. That's why he can help a lot of cultivator. That's why my affinity with Kuan Yin is very strong. That's why in the year 1986, that nature arise and gave me the message, you have to move fast, not much time left. He poured a triple gem from her vase onto my hand and held my hand. You have to move fast, not much time left. That time was 86. It's like she know by 89 I will finish, I will connect. That's why 86 already, still don't want to go on. What are you waiting for? So Kuan Yin, when I was young, very funny, I told you all, my mother also believed in Kuan Yin. He took me to Kuan Yin Miao. Then all the other temple are with the deities on, I cannot pay respect. But when I hear Kuan Yin, I will pay respect. And I have very strong faith. Then the four great beings also, Sakyamuni also. So what happened was, when Kuan Yin that time, I don't know what Kuan Yin was at that time, I haven't really developed the cultivation to this extent. But I know, how can Kuan Yin manifest? Well, my mother told me, she said, Kuan Yin, very whole lang in Cantonese. What is the English word?
Effective.
No, no, what is the English word? Whole lang. No, no, Chin Jia Jun Wan, Jia Jun Wan. Not in Hokkien, was it Jun? Jia Ling, Jia Ling, Jia Ling. Yeah, just, means what? He said, you believe in Kuan Yin, my mother told me. When you sincerely pray or respect and ask for help, it will manifest or no. That's why my mother believed in Kuan Yin. Then he wear the jacket because of Kuan Yin. Then when she got accident, she didn't die. She actually at quite an elderly age, 60 years old. A car banged her, while walking in Alostar town. Then he flipped over and landed on the ground, hit with the blood. Then the passerby, the shopkeeper, all saw, panic. Quickly bring her into the shop front there, bring up the armchair, let her rest there. And she recovered. Then when she recovered, she managed to reach home. Then we asked her what happened. He said, I don't know. When I woke up, my jack broke. And like, nothing happened to me. He said, except some blood. He said, only the jack broke. Then, because of that, I asked myself, I like to investigate in Kuan Yin. How can Kuan Yin be everywhere? If everybody asks for help, how can Kuan Yin be everywhere? You understand? Well, the number of beings are limitless, uncountable. Then suddenly from inside, my nature come tell me, she is so special. The cultivation is so unique, so special. He has actually perfected the cultivation, and because of the perfection, the wisdom, the work, the merits, the virtue, she invoked that power of that very intense cultivation until the vow become a part of nature's law, you understand? Nature's law means she vow. Whomsoever call upon my forehead, it can be Namo Kuan Yin Bodhisattva or Om Mani Padme Hum and whatever for how. So all this has become part of nature's law. So when you really sincerely call upon her or her nature, they don't have to come personally. That's all. No such thing. But it is part of nature's law. It will connect and it will manifest. It will happen. That's why I almost died 3 times this life. I seek Kuan Yin's blessing, protection. Protection is for my form and mind, not for anything else. That's why this form and mind, I used to tell you, are very fragile, very easily damaged. So because of that, because many of this happening, later on I saw the manifestation of Kuan Yin, then I came to know how all this is possible. And without Kuan Yin, I would not be here to share all this. Yeah. So because of that understanding, the affinity, that's why I told you under the yellow card, determined to have this, what they call aspiration, to request the blessing, protection and guidance of all these Sama Sambuddha and great beings. Cultivate affinity with them. And that one can really manifest and develop into a very different understanding. That's why every life you come, your segmented life, very fragile, very easily, like we call it like damage, gone. Understand? Yeah. So you need to have all this understanding in order for you to come with that parami understanding and deliver that type of pure wish or vow that you have developed. That's why this life, everything falls into place and it's so beautiful. And it's because of all this understanding. That's why whatever I know, I understand, I share. That's it, finished. And that is what I'm supposed to do. I mean, Joyce, at the gathering of Kayamita, you remember what she said? Brother Theo, he only shared. After that, whether you understand, don't understand, accept or don't accept, nothing to do with him. Yeah, my duty is to fulfill the vow, to do my duty, to share this which was requested by my dear. That's why this sasana is supported, Sakyamuni sasana, supported by Kuan Yin and Maitreya. Yeah. And these two great beings are very powerful. Yeah. And next, Samasambuddha is supposed to be Maitreya. That's why the one in front, the loving Buddha, Maitreya Buddha, yeah. Very beautiful being. Yeah. So all of this, yeah, Po Cheng. Yeah.
This Kuan Yin is really, really, like you said, is in the nature. Because what happened was, when my daughter was 6 years old, she was very sick. She was in ICU and the doctor doesn't know what happened, So they didn't have much hope on it. So what I did was, that time I haven't learned Dharma, but I only pray to Kuan Yin.
Khao Kun Yam Po Hao.
Yes. So I went to this Sima Lu Temple, Sister Sui will know. I went to this Sima Lu Temple, there's this Kuan Yin, you know, big Kuan Yin in front, and behind is the Sakyamuni Buddha. But automatically I know what to do, in the Dharma. I just pray to Kuan Yin. I said, you know, my daughter is very sick. I don't know who to ask for help. And I seek Kuan Yin's protection. And then I also very sincere, you know, You know what I say, you know? I say, you know, my life, I went through at least half of my life. But my daughter is just young. So I said, I'm willing to give my life to her.
Sadhu.
Then after that, I think, cannot also live relative. You know why? She's so young, after I die already, how is she going to survive, you know? So I think, maybe not give away my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think maybe shorten my life, lah, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
And also I give her my life, part of my life,
yeah,
so
yeah,
that
yeah.
At least I can see her growing up,
yeah,
enjoy
yeah,
some
yeah.
life,
yeah,
and
yeah.
do some meaningful stuff,
sadhu,
right? So I think that would be very good already.
Yeah, yeah.
Lah, you know,
beautiful and
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, very beautiful
yeah.
for me, lah, because at least I see her growing up.
Yeah.
Then after I say this right and do all the prayers that. To Kuan Yin, right? So my daughter, she only stayed in the ICU for 2 weeks only.
Oh, after that.
Then after
recovered.
That recovered.
Sadhu.
So the doctor also very amazed like, that
yeah,
she
yeah,
recovered.
Yeah.
Because I tell you, brother Theo, very scary. This ICU got another kid passed away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So wow, very scary for me at that time, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, well, I better go and do something, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So and then She
because of your past, your
yes.
affinity with Kuan Yin, that's why all this can happen.
Yes, that happened.
Yeah.
But the thing is, after I learned the Lama, Brother Theo, then I asked Brother Theo, Lama, I make this agreement with Kuan Yin.
Don't
but,
worry.
Okay, so I said, so actually I said, but I want to cultivate, I haven't even started, man. How can I die first, you know, Brother Theo? You know? So I didn't tell you this, you know, Brother
okay.
Theo. So I went to the Kuan Yin, and then I said, Kuan Yin, no, I just started. My cultivation. I cannot die, right? I die already have to cultivate. So I said, can I have more longer life, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know how it turned out, lah. But
don't worry, don't worry. I will explain. Because my mother also did the similar thing. So, not only me, my mother, Pocheng, in fact, you ask around, a lot of people have strong faith and belief in Kuan Yin because they actually in real life, they experience the help they receive from Kuan Yin. A lot of people I've heard before, even a lot of the Kayamita that came to me, oh, no Kuan Yin, got affinity Kuan Yin. And you know what happened or not? When I was in standard 6, I remember 1966. My father at that time, I was the second in the family. I got 9 brothers and sisters. He was the sole breadwinner. No? I was only in standard 6 now, means 12 years old. So what happened was, he got this ulcer, no, so severe until it bleed, no, but he didn't know. Luckily, he went to the GP. The GP realized something very serious. He said, you better go Penang. Alostar, nobody can treat you. He sent my father to this Adventist hospital. Wow, that professor. That surgeon, very good. It was one day before Chinese New Year. He went there, the professor diagnosed him, then do the x-ray, realized very severe ulcer, bleeding inside there. Then he told my father, you have to admit and operate straight away, otherwise God also cannot help you. So my father got no choice. And my mother at that time was so worried, you know. He don't know what to do. You know. He is the sole breadwinner. If he die, the whole family all gone. And I'm the second eldest. I was only 12 years old. And my elder brother, 6 years older than me, was 17 or 18 years old. So what he did was, he at home with the Kuan Yin image there, he pay respect. Then he requested Kuan Yin's help. I can die, my husband cannot die. He is willing to die on behalf of my father. He used all this word. Then he really sincere. And she cried. My grandmother saw her. He talked to me. He said, the whole family, including my grandmother, also have this fear. So she also cried, and that time I was so young, I don't know. Then somehow I felt, because of her sincerity, it will move heaven. And because of that, my father recovered. So then everything fell back into place. At that time I know I can study. I know I can go to uni, I can graduate, I can become somebody. But if my father no more, I don't think I got the means or support financial to go uni. So that time, I also tell myself, let things be. Yeah. And because of what my mom did, what I realize is, he said, give her life exchange means my father survived, she's supposed to die. Right? Nothing, no such thing. You think Guan Yin so unreasonable and cruel? No, without that nature, no. What he want to see is your faith, your sincerity, understand? When you have the faith and the sincerity, that nature's law, the vow, take over and manifest. That's why don't worry about all this. Because all this is you heard one, huh? I exchange my life to extend. Because you think it has to be done this way, otherwise it cannot happen. No. Quan Yin, all this great way, test your faith and sincerity. When you have the faith and you are sincere. Like he said, whomsoever who sincerely call upon her for help, there will be a response. It has become a nature's law. So if you really sincere and you have the what they call understanding and faith, you do it. It will manifest. Why? Somebody? Oh, you're off the thing. Okay. So this is what I want to share. Huh? Don't worry. Your life shorter one. No need to go back and tell Guan Yin. Guan Yin is not so cruel. Hey, you promise him. Where got like that one? You think Sherlock Holmes. £1 of flesh. Luckily that guy is smart. Huh? I say flesh. You know. You cut and take with the blood, that is against the contract. No? So Sherlock Holmes also. Something you read about as English literature. Okay, we better move on. Pure Land I explained already. So develop the understanding and faith. Okay. Let me continue.
2.6. What are these 31 planes of existence? Question 5. What are these 31 planes of existence? Varachira replied. According to Theravada tradition, the 31 planes of existence are the realms of existence within samsara, or existence where living beings have to undergo birth and death following their karma. It can also be called the three worlds. 1. The formless world, or Arupa Loka. 4. Formless realms of neither perception nor non-perception, nothingness, infinite consciousness and infinite space. 2. The form world, or Rupa Loka. 16. Brahma realms. 3. The sensual world, or Kama Loka, 6 Deva or heavenly realms, and 1 human realm, and 4 woeful state or suffering realms. The sensual realms are further divided into 1 suffering world of the sensual realms, or Kama Dugati, and they are the 4 woeful realms of demons, animals, petas, or hungry ghosts, and the hell beings. 2. Kama Sugati, or the sensual realms of happiness, are the human realms and the 6 Deva realms. The Mahayana call it the 6 realms of birth and death, with the 1 human realm plus 4 woeful realms remaining exactly the same, and the only difference is the Mahayana has only 1 heavenly realm to define all the 6 Deva realms, the 16 Brahma realms, and the 4 formless realms. Hence, total is 31 realms of planes or existence. No thought, ever mindful and constantly meditative, imply ever mindful to constantly cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, heedfulness. Equal to heedfulness.
Dhammapada verse 23. Yeah? This is just added as a note to remind cultivator. So Mahayana, instead of 31 planar existence as taught in Theravada, they shorten it to the sixth rhyme. They call it the Liu Tao Lun Hui, where you take birth within the sixth rhyme. This is what to them samsara is. So the bottom five rhyme, the human rhyme and the four woeful state is the same, except they call the rest the heavenly rhyme, Tian Fa Jie, because they are within the heavens, the devas, the brahmas, and the formless rhyme beings. So because of that, they say Liu Tao Lun Hui, means these are the six rhyme where you will take rebirth and continuously within samsara, evolving, evolving, evolving. But within this 31 plane, you can also have Bodhisattva, Sammasambuddha, and other things. Do you understand? It doesn't mean that they are all the unenlightened beings that will continue to evolve within the sixth rhyme or the 31 plane. So that is the understanding. Okay, good. We finish. Next page.
Page 30, Fifth Heart Sutta Class, Part 1.1, Introducing Master Xuan Hua, 45th Patriarch of Sakyamuni Buddha's lineage.
Yes, he is the 45th Patriarch after Bodhidharma.
In 1948, after 3,000 miles of travel, Master Xuan Hua reached Nanhua Monastery near Canton and received the wonderful mind-to-mind transmission of all Buddhists from the... Of all Buddhas from the Venerable Master
Xu Huang.
And became the 45th patriarch in the line of succession from Sakyamuni Buddha.
From Sakyamuni Buddha. It's not from Bodhidharma.
Master Xu Yun is also the teacher of Master Po Yuan, the late abbot of this Mahayana Vihara, Wu Bing Jinse. 1.2. Introducing the late Venerable Master Xu Yun, 44th Patriarch in the line of succession from Sakyamuni Buddha. Xu Yun was born on 26 April 1840 in Fujian, China, and passed away in 1959 at the age of 120. He is one of the most influential Chan masters of the past two centuries and arguably the most important in modern Chinese history. Unlike Catholicism and other branches of Christianity, there was no organization in China that embraced all monastics in China, not even all monastics within the same sect. Traditionally, each monastery was autonomously with authority resting on each respective abbot. This changed with the rule of the Communist Party. In 1953, the Chinese Buddhist Association was established at a meeting with 121 delegates in Beijing. The meeting also elected a chairman, four honorary chairmen, seven vice chairmen, a secretary general, three deputy secretaries general, 18 members of a standing committee, and 93 directors. The four elected honorary chairmen were the Dalai Lama, the Panchen Lama, the Grand Lama of Inner Mongolia, and Xu Yun himself. Though Chan is less well known in the West compared to Japanese Zen, the teaching of Xu Yun has persisted within Asia, and he is still a major figure of Pure Land Buddhism in East Asia. Outside of China, the influence of his teaching is strongest in Southeast Asia, particularly in Vietnam and Myanmar, as well as in Americas. where his teaching were transmitted to well-known monastic students such as Venerable Xuan Hua and Venerable Ji Din Shakya and Venerable Fo Yuan Shakya. 1. Middle Age and Enlightenment. At the age of 43, Xu Yun had by then left the home life for more than 20 years, but he had not yet completed his practice in the past. He had not repaid his parents' kindness, and so he vowed to again make a pilgrimage to Nanhai, from Fa Hua Temple all the way to Qingliang Peak at Mount Wutai, or Five Peak Mountain of the Northwest, the Bodhi Mandala of Manjushri. He made one full prostration every three steps.
Sanpu Ipa is started by him.
He prayed for the rebirth of his parents in the Pure Land. Along the way, Xu Yun is said to have met a beggar called Wen Ci, who twice saved his life. After talking with the monks at the Five Peak Mountain, Xu Yun came to believe that the beggar had been a manifestation of Manjushri. Having achieved singleness of mind, Xu Yun traveled west and south, making his way to Tibet. He visited many monasteries and holy places, including the Potala, the seat of the Dalai Lama, and Tashi Hunpo Monastery, the seat of the Panchen Lama. He traveled through India and Ceylon, and then across the Sea of Burma. During this time of wandering, Xu Yun felt his mind clearing and his health growing stronger. Xu Yun composed a large number of poems during this period. After returning to China, during Xu Yun's 53rd year, he joined other venerable masters Pu Zhao, Yue Xia, and Yin Lian, Lotus Seal, to cultivate together. They climbed Jiu Hua Mountain and repaired the huts on Chui Feng Summit, where Dharma Master Pu Zhao expounded the Mahavaipurya Buddha Avatamsaka, Flower Adornment Sutra. When Xu Yun was 56, the abbot Yue Lang of Gao Ming Temple in Yangzhou planned to convene a continuous 12-week session of Dhyana meditation. Preparing to leave, the group asked Xu Yun to go first. After reaching Digang, he had to cross the water but had no money. The ferry left without him. As he walked along the the river edge, he suddenly lost his balance and fell into the rushing water, where he bobbled helplessly for a day and night and was caught in a fisherman's net. He was carried to a nearby temple where he was revived and treated for his injuries. Feeling ill, he nevertheless returned to Yangzhou. When asked by Gao Ming whether he would participate in the upcoming weeks of meditation, he politely declined without revealing his illness. The temple had rules that those who were invited had to attend or else face punishment. In the end, Gao Ming had Xu Yun beaten with a wooden ruler. He willingly accepted this punishment, although it worsened his condition. For the next several days, Xu Yun sat in continuous meditation. In his autobiography, he wrote, "In the purity of my singlelessness of mind, I forgot all about my body. 20 days later, my illness vanished completely. From that moment, with all my thoughts entirely wiped out, my practice took effect throughout the day and night. My steps were as swift as if I was flying in the air. One evening after meditation, I opened my eyes and suddenly saw I was in brightness similar to broad daylight, in which I could suddenly saw I was, sorry, which I could see everything inside and outside the monastery. But he knew that this occurrence was only a mental state and that it was not at all rare. He did not become attached to this achievement, but continued his single-minded investigation of the topic, who is mindful of the Buddha, over and over again. He delved into this topic without interruption.
Okay, so let me explain a bit. You see, even like Xu Yun, he's supposed to be a patriarch and all those things. He also went through a difficult life. Like he almost drowned, lost in the rushing water, then caught in the fishing net, then sent to the temple to recuperate. Then after that, he attended the place where he's supposed to go for retreat. And because of the rules, he was punished. Then after that, he determined to seek continuous meditation. Then in his biography, he wrote, in the purity of his singleness of mind, means that time he was doing one-pointedness and all those things. Then he saw all those phenomena. He said, like, all of his thought entirely wiped off, means like no thought. Then my practice took effect throughout day and night, means day and night is in that state. Yeah. Last time my teacher, one of my teachers also told me, he can carry his jhana for almost continuously 72 hours. No need to sleep, nothing. So all these are the manifestation. Then he realized his steps were as swift as if he was flying in the air. Then one evening after meditation, he opened his eye. It's at night already. Suddenly he saw he was in brightness, similar to broad daylight, in which he could see everything inside and outside the monastery. But here is what he said. But he knew that these occurrences was only a mind state, mental state, remember this. And that it is not at all rare. This is what the Surangama Sutta mentioned, the deviant samadhi, the 52, oh sorry, 五十阴魔, 50 deviant samadhi. Then he said, because he understands, he does not attach. So he did not become attached to this achievement, but continued his single-minded investigation of the topic using the koan. Who is mindful of the Buddha? Over and over again, he dwelt until this topic without interruption. Into this topic without interruption. Then the next part is how he became enlightened. You listen. During the 12 lunar month, on the third evening of the 8th week of the season, after 6 hours of sitting meditation, continuous sitting, the attendant made his round, filling up the teacup. Xu Yun's hand was burned by spilling boiling water, and his cup fell to the floor. At the sound of the crash, the root of his doubt was instantly severed. He was joyous beyond words at having fulfilled his lifelong ambition. He was as if he had just awakened from a dream. And he observed how the condition of the past unraveled. Then he wrote this poem. From the poem, you will know how he became enlightened, awakened. Xu Yun's first explanation say, a cup fall to the ground with a sound clearly heard, as space was polarized, the mad mind came to a complete stop. So you all can understand what happened to him or not from the poem, from what he wrote. Because of this condition, he is in a similar way to Ananda. You remember Ananda? Strive so hard, continuously meditate and try. Cannot. Last minute decide to give up while he lie down to rest. Suddenly, before the head touches the pillow, he awaken and become the Arahant. But at that time, he's not holding on to anything, no any expectation, nothing. So what Xu Yin go through is similar but not the same. He said a cup fell to the ground, means that guy pour water, hot water on him, because it was so hot. He suddenly felt that heat, then he released the finger that hold the cup. And then that phenomenon is the one that trigger of enlightenment. How can it happen? Well, he was ready already actually. The causes and conditions are there. That's why enlightenment can happen in various ways. Different people, different conditions or different. So what happened was, with a sound clearly heard, means that hearing consciousness, the awareness nature aware, that one trigger. What happened was when that sharp sound that he heard trigger off, then what happened is, as space was pulverized, like the space disappeared, pulverized, no more space. That's why the true nature arise. Then the mad mind came to a complete stop. What is the mad mind? The mundane mind, understand? The mundane mind completely stopped, still. That's how he awakened. So space like pulverized. So what happened was at the moment when the hot water actually landed on his hand, at that moment he was like in a state of sudden like Ananda like that. No more clinging to the Gong'an and all those things. No more trying to develop the understanding, the meditation. The mind like become completely free at that instant. That's why it just spontaneously released the cup. Then when he was in that state, it was ready with the causes and conditions to receive a trigger. And the trigger was the sharp sound from the cup, very distinct. Then the whole mind, like space polarized, then the wow, he called it the wow mind, it's really the mundane mind, come to a complete stop. That's why cessation of form and mind. He awakened, he realized. Yeah? So after hearing this story, don't try to be a hero. Go and get somebody to pour hot water on your hand when you go and meditate. I wish him luck. So this one is because the parami is there. So here, Xu Yun's biography, the example, is a good way of developing the understanding. When you want to progress, when you want to be enlightened, when your expectation is there, that mind that has this expectation has craving, understand? It cannot develop the causes and conditions for it to happen. When you have the understanding and the wisdom, just let things be, and it will happen. That's why don't look for it. Don't crave for it. Don't like become too eager to progress. How come I already practice, cultivate so long? No progress, nothing. Forget about it. All this is the thought. So when you have faith, sincerity, all this can happen. Then the next one is meaning of accord with condition or flow with the Dhamma. The word accord means not to resist. The key word is not to resist. Hence, there is harmony and no conflict. Conflict means disharmony, argument, etc. So to flow with the Dhamma means the same as don't resist or argue. We are accepting things as they are. And this is wisdom. Or we are seeing things as they are without delusion and let things be. It's like martial art. If you were to resist and defend via rigid kung fu, then both will get hurt. But you can use Tai Chi to flow with it, then Tai Chi will send the force back to the aggressor who will be hurt by his own force. That's why accord and flow, do not resist. Otherwise, heart against heart, you actually injure yourself and others. Then the next one is, tell me, you read on the phenomenal world is an illusionary world of consciousness. We try to finish this chapter.
Page 33, 1.4. The phenomenal world is an illusionary world of consciousness. Definition of phenomenon. Anything that is perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. Then how do you know the world? Via our consciousness and mental perception, isn't it? And since consciousness and mental perception are just mental image in our mind that arise and pass away continuously, hence the reason why it is said the phenomenal world is actually an illusionary world of consciousness, empty. The Mahayana also got a very famous saying, perception of form is consciousness. Whereas its non-perception is wisdom. This is the most profound quote quoted by the Surangama Sutra, and the enlightened one will understand it. Now you understand why the Mahayana always said the phenomenal world is the world of consciousness. This is also the reason why the Surangama Sutra said, consciousness created the world and the continents, the stars and the universe, and the knower becomes the living being. Through thought and form delusion, the knower deludedly cling on to the five aggregates of form and mind, or living beings, thinking that it is real, and this is what they are. Hence the deluded living being clinging on to the false becomes the traveler in space and time, wandering through samsara and undergoing birth and death for eternity. Notes 1. True mind does not stir. True suchness or ru ru bu dong. Only the mundane mind stirs via delusion. Mundane mind without wisdom is the discriminating thinking mind. 2. Definition of hallucinatory. Thinking that it is real but is actually not real. Page 34. 3. J. Krishna Murti said, the observer is the observed. This is seeing things as they are, via the direct seeing without words. In a similar way, the Buddha also taught the same. In the seeing, it is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see, hence no delusion. Otherwise, the moment you associate and cling onto what you see or what you observe, delusion or sakkayaditti has already arisen. Part 2, Meditation 2.1, Visualization Technique. Question 1. Can visualization like visualizing a blue sky be used as a technique to develop mindfulness? Father Teo replied, this type of visualization technique, like any other skillful means, if used with understanding, can also bring about the training of the mind to be peaceful and calm, just like auto-suggestion via music, sound and vibration, etc. But the disadvantage of this type of skillful means is that it usually only works for the first few times, and after a while, like good food, it loses its effectiveness. The other type of visualization technique using kasinas or the 40 objects of meditation used to develop one-pointedness concentration followed by the development of jhanas and deep concentration leading to all the other psychic abilities is more dangerous unless it is done with understanding and preferably under the guidance of a very good and very skillful meditation teacher. If one clings and attaches to such one-pointedness concentration and special jhanic abilities, then one can get trapped and chances of deviation from the true cultivation of developing wisdom to free the mind from all suffering can happen. The mind that is in one-pointedness concentration is a conditioned mind that is still within the field of thought, and all the anusaya or latent tendency of the mind are still suppressed and not rooted out as yet. Such a mind is not a free mind with clear awareness and samadhi, born of equanimity or wisdom. 2.2. The wisdom of letting things be. Question 2. How to apply the wisdom of letting things be to solve all of our life problems? Brother Teo replied, with right view born of wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, we will not react or allow the mind to stir when confronted with the first noble truth realities of life and existence, the eight conditions. Hence, no fear, no worry, anxiety, or any suffering. That is, we just let things be after accepting the realities of the moment. Then, with a calm and clear mind, we can weigh our options and act appropriately following the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, to resolve all our life situations or problems amicably. That is, without any negativity or wrong thoughts to cause our mind to stir, we can be at peace. Because wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition one's fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, and misery, etc. Without wisdom and right view born of understanding the Buddha Dharma, one will react and the mind will stir due to the fear, worry, and anxiety, etc. Born of their wrong view, just like normal deluded living beings, leading to all the mental suffering, grief, sorrow, and lamentation, etc. The cause of suffering is self-delusion that conditions one's grasping and one's clinging to the one's five aggregates of form and mind. This is the second noble truth. Under the third noble truth, the Buddha said, suffering need not be. If one has the wisdom and enlightenment can be realized in the here and the now, or Nibbana is possible. Then, following the fourth noble truth, which is the way out of suffering, one cultivates the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, leading to the end of all suffering.
Okay, good. Thank you. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we should end already. We are 9 o'clock already. So, at least we cover until page 35. So we'll continue tomorrow, page 36 onward. Okay. 9:05. We got 10 minutes for closing puja. Okay. Let us now recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have done. Today, then we shall rejoice, then share merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu loka sasana ettavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idam meñyatinam hotu sukhita hontu ñatayo idam meñyatinam hotu sukhita hontu ñatayo idam meñyatinam hotu sukhita hontu ñatayo deo asatu kalina sas sampati heto cha hito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhamiko imina punyam kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nirvana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, so you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones, and we shall end. Thank you.